Begin the current daf Masechtas Baba Kama daf Mem Gimel. Begin on the bottom daf Mem Beis, 3 lines up from the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That is, the Gemara continued from the topic of our previous Mishnah, discussing the halachas of a shur shenagach esa adam, an ox that gores a person. There's a difference if it's a tam or if it's a muad. Specifically, the pasuk says vehemis isha isha, if it kills a man or a woman, and it's a muad, then there's going to be a liability for the owner of the ox to pay kafer atonement money for the death of that person. Now, Rabbi Akiva expounded, he wondered, why does it say vehemis isha isha? Why does it say or a woman? We already know that the liability of an ox that gores a person, but from the previous pasuk of shartam, that it says also there isha isha. Why does it say, again, a man or a woman? It says Rabbi Akiva, to compare a woman to a man, just like a man upon damage to him, those who inherit those monies are his children, so to the woman, the one who is going to inherit the money that she was damaged is going to go to her inheritors, to her children, and not to her husband. Which the Gemara asked, what do you mean? Rabbi Akiva himself expounds in the Braisa that says, V'yorish Aisa, that the husband inherits the wife and not her children. So that Rish Lakish explained that this halacha is unique by Kaifer, that it's specifically by Kaifer that the husband doesn't inherit it. And the reason being is because, as the Gemara explained, the source from the Pasuk, from Mahemis Isha Isha, of a comparison of Shur, the Shur being stoned and the payment of Kaifer, that the liability of Kaifer is only after the woman's death. And therefore, the husband doesn't inherit the woman what's called Bero'o, what's fit for her to inherit, but she didn't have it yet, which is what's called Muchzik. What the husband inherits is what the woman had taken possession of in her lifetime, then he inherits. But Kaifer, which is only payable and only obligated after the woman's death, that's something that, just like as we'll see in our sugi regarding a firstborn, you don't get Bero'o, what's fit to come, you don't get that, it's not part of your inheritance. Only you get what's kibbeh muchzik, and that's why in that case, that's what the pasuk's telling us, comparing a woman to a man, that by kaifer, the husband's not going to inherit it, rather, her inheritors. Now, however, the Gemara continues and asks on Rish Lakish, that he defined this halacha of Rabbi Akiva because of the contradiction we had asked on his opinion, who inherits the woman, that he said it's only regarding, as this pasuk is told, regarding kaifer, but in other areas, the husband is the one that inherits. On that, asked the Gemara, "Ubenizak and loyam Rabbi Akiva? Is it really true that Rabbi Akiva was only saying it regarding the woman's death from Mashiach HaMu'ud, that regarding Kaifer, that's where the husband does inherit it? But regarding damages, he didn't say that the woman's inheritors get it, and to the contrary, then the husband would inherit it? But on that, asked the Gemara, but Tanya, but learn the Braisa as follows. Hiko es ha'isha b'yatsa yoladal. Somebody injures a woman, and she was pregnant, and now she miscarried. Now there's the loss of the fetuses. Says the Braisa, Nisen Nezik Vitzar Leisha. So there's many different types of damages here that have to be paid up. The actual damage, which was done to the woman, which is she got injured in that incident, and more, but there was pain that she incurred, that goes to the woman. She gets paid for the Nezik and the Tsar. Now, Udmei Vladis, the worth of the fetuses, which we evaluate based on how a person would be worth if they were sold as a slave in the market, there's a loss now of the woman in the sense of now she doesn't have her pregnancy anymore. That value goes to the husband, which is, as the Pasuk says in Shemos Chavalev, the Torah merits those that value to the husband, as it says, Baal Isha, goes to the husband of the woman. Now, says the Braisa, Ein HaBaal, let's say the husband is not around. So, nice and Yershav, you give that Demei Vladis to his inheritors. Let's say Ein HaIsha, let's say she's not around to receive her Nezik and Tzar. So, the Gir says, nice and Yersheha, They give it to her inheritors, the Nezik and the Tsar. Now, he says, Shivcha v'nishtachar, now the Braisa moves on to a different case. Let's say she was a maidservant, but then was freed. So we have a Meshachreris, a freed slave woman, who was pregnant, impregnated from a freed slave. Or as we continue to talk about Gimel and Aleph, a similar type of a case, Giyeris, a female convert, who was impregnated from a male convert, and they both died. So in those last two cases, Zacha, the one who was Mazik, the one who injured the woman, he's going to merit. In other words, he's going to be exempt from all monetary payments of damage. The reason being is because he's the first one to merit in their properties. In other words, because a geir, a geiris, a meshuchar, these are people that halachically have no other relationships. They became from non-Jews to Jews, and they're not related to their non-Jewish relatives anymore, and neither do they have Jewish relatives yet. So since there's no inheritors, the halacha is kol kaidim zacha, whoever comes first can merit it. Now, therefore, this person, who essentially he's really holding the money already that he has to pay them. So he's the first one. So he really beats everyone and he can just hold on to what he owes them. And therefore, in that situation, he won't be obligated in paying. Now, Rashi just points out 2 points. But let's say if it was Yisraelis, a regular Jewish woman that was pregnant from a regular Jewish man, then even if they don't have children, they're always going to have inheritors somewhere going back, all the way back to the Jewish people when they started. There's going to be some relative. Every Jew is related, and therefore he'll have relatives for what he's getting, and she'll have relatives for what she's getting. Second point Rashi points out is that it has to be obviously that she was freed before the injury. But if she was a maidservant during the time of the injury, even if later she's freed, then the person would, and then she dies, the person who injured her would be liable in all the liabilities, even the Dmei Vladis, because that goes to her master. Because the Dmei Vladis of a Shivcha doesn't go to her husband, rather, as the Gemara says later on, the Mem Tesem and Aleph, the master of the Shivcha, his maidservant is like his animal, like his donkey, which is that all the payments go towards the master. But one thing that the Gemara is asking is, here you have a case of Nezek that we said goes to the woman, and if the woman's not around, who gets it? Nois and Liyur Shehal. We said you give it to her inheritors, you don't give it to the husband. So how could Rish Lakish have said before that this halacha of the woman inheriting, meaning it goes to her inheritors, is only by Kaifer and not by other things like Nezek? Yet here we have clearly in this Brisa saying that even by Nezek, it doesn't go to the husband, it goes to the inheritors. So Amar Rabbi says, Begrusha, this Bryce is talking about a woman that was divorced. That's why the Nezek that was coming to her and then she died goes to her inheritors, is because after the injury, the husband divorced her. V'cheinam Rav Nachman, so to Rav Nachman says, it's talking about Begrusha. It's talking about that a woman that was divorced, and if it's divorced, that's why the husband doesn't inherit anymore. He's not the husband at the time of the death. That's why. But you're right, if they were married, then the husband would inherit it, like Rish Lakish said. Now, that the Gemara asked, Amri, they said, Gerusha, if you tell me the case of this Brisa was describing a case of a woman that was divorced, then, okay, we understand now why her inheritors would be getting her Nezik, but then there's a different difficulty. Nami tiflig bidmei vladois, then they should shear, like the partners that they are, in the children, the fetuses that were aborted, that were miscarried, there is a male and a female that are involved in creating a child. So the question is, as Tais explains, that the Gemara's assumption is that the Pasuk says that Baal Ha'isha, the man of the woman, he gets the Dmei Vladis. But that would only be if he's the Baal Ha'isha at the time of the payment. But here where they get divorced, so he doesn't have any unique rights on the loss of the children. It's both partners that should share in it. So if it's a Grusha, why is he getting it and she doesn't get half of the value of the loss of the fetuses? So that thing Moran says, that's not difficult. Amar Papa, he says, HaTaira Zachsa Demei Vladis Lablal. The Taira merited the value of the children, even in the case of divorce, to the husband. And moreover, says Rav Papa, Filabola Biznus. Even if they were never married in the first place, even if the way he impregnated her was in a non-wedded situation, still the Demei Vladis, if they're ever injured by someone else and miscarried, is going to go to that man. My time, what's the reason? Amakra, the Pasuk says, Kasha Yashis Olav Baal Ha'isha, like the Baal of the woman will impose upon the one who injured the woman and thus caused the miscarriage. You see that the Pasuk is saying that the variable is Baal Ha'isha. The term Baal is the word of Baal, the one who cohabited with her. So since that's the primary component, even if they're divorced, even if they were never married in the first place, that Dmei Vladis goes to the man, and that's why, even though the case of the Braisa is Tomar Grusha, and that's why, yes, that explains why the Dmei Nezik is not going to go to the husband, even though generally he inherits everything besides Kaifer, is because they're not married, they're divorced, and still the Dmei Vladis goes to the Baal Ha'isha. However, the Gemara asks a different question now. We had a question from the Braisa, to which we had Rabbah and Rav Nachman that answered the reason why it's not going to the husband, the Nezek, although we're saying everything does go to the husband. The husband inherits, as Rabbi Kiva had said, B'yarosh Isa inherits his wife, is because they said that the case of the Braisa is talking about where she was divorced. That asked the Gemara that both Rabbah and Rav Nachman, respectively, according to their opinions mentioned in Masechet Baba Basra and Perek Yeshneichlin, could have given a different answer why the husband is not inheriting the woman of the Nezek, of the damages that happened to her in the injury. Why? So the Gemara says, V'nukma l'Rabba, Kagain Shagavu, Rabbi could have explained the case talking about where the court collected ma'is, money, cash, from the mazik, the one that injured her, to pay her for the damages and the pain that she incurred. Now, although that was a liability that was owed to her when she was still alive, however, it's not any better, which is the case that Rabbi and Rav Nachman discuss over there in Baba Basra, than a loan in a document which is owed to a person. And as we'll shortly explain, that Rabbi holds that that's not something that the husband's going to inherit. So to Rav Nachman, kagan shagabu karka. Rav Nachman could have explained that case of the Braisa when the collection for her injuries was ultimately collected with land. Why would that help? So the Gemara explains. Dama Rabbah, because Rabbah says, Gavu, if, let's say, inheritors collect karka, they collect land from a loan that was owed to them, to their father, who was the lender, and then they collect after the father's death. Says Rabbah, Yeshloi, the firstborn, who always gets what's called Pishnayim. Let's say there's five sons. They make it like as if it's split up into six parts. And then the firstborn takes not just one part, he takes two parts, what's called Pishnayim, a double portion. Says Rabbah, regarding the collection of land after the father's death, the firstborn will take, although at the time of the father's death, they didn't have that land. And we know that the firstborn doesn't take what's called Bera'u, as we said, the similar phenomena regarding the husband. Doesn't take what's fit to be given to who they're inheriting. He only gets what's called Kibamuchsik, what the father had at the time of the death. Rabbah holds that when they're collecting land, land doesn't move anywhere. It was always there, and that land was meshubed to their father, so it was as if the father had it, even though it was never collected yet, as if the father had it at the time that he died. So therefore, although they're collecting this, let's say, months after the father's death, that, says Rabbah, is not considered bero, it's considered kibamuchsik, and therefore the son will take a double portion. Now, whereas, however, says Rabbah, gabu ma'ois ein loy. But if, let's say, they collected money from the borrower, then the son, the firstborn, does not get a double portion. The reason being is because these are not the monies that the father left over at the time of his death. These are different monies that the guy's paying up. And essentially, it's what's called ro. It was fit for the father to get this. We knew at a certain point this borrower's going to have to pay up, but it wasn't yet owned in the father's possession, muhsik, at the time of the death. Therefore, it says Rabbah, karka, yes, is considered like muhsik, and therefore the firstborn will get a double portion at, when they get it paid months after the father's death, but not money. Now, Rav Nachman, he actually says the exact opposite. He says, gavu ma'is yeshloi. When the sons collect money from the borrower, then the firstborn will get a double portion. Because he considers that, yes, like muhsik, and the reason being is because the father lent the borrower money. And what are they taking back from him? Money. So essentially, that was something that was always the father's, and therefore he considers that as a muhsik. And therefore, when they collect the cash from this guy months after the father's death, it's like the father had it at the time of the death, and the first one will get a double portion. Whereas he says, gavu karka ain't light. But when they collect land, then the first one is not going to get a double portion. And the reason being is, their father didn't leave over them land. This guy's paying with land. Father left over a loan, which was money. They're not getting money from this guy. They're getting land. And therefore, he says that's considered like ro'u. So therefore, the Gemara's question is, here also, let's say Rav Nachman could have said that the collection that this woman who was injured, let's say her nezek, the courts collected after her death, they collected land, which is, as we described according to Rav Nachman, considered ro'u. That's, if it was cash, then he would say, yes, that would the husband would inherit. So to Rabbah the other way around, he would say that karka would be considered muhsik and kesef and mois would not be. So the question is, why did they have to say it's talking about a case of a gerusha? No, talk about a married woman. What do you mean married woman? So why isn't the husband inheriting it? The reason being is because they only collected it after the woman ultimately died. It says, if ain't her isha. So they're saying, nice and Yersha. Why do you give it to Yersha? Give it to the husband. She wasn't divorced. You know why we don't give it to the husband? Like Rav Nachman? It's because they collected with land. The woman was already dead by the time they collected. That's considered ro. As we said before, the husband doesn't collect bero kibamuchsik. And Rabbah would have said the other way around, that they collected mois. And mois, he holds, is considered ro. Just like we see they have this similar machlokes regarding the Yershim of the Bechor, collecting Pishnayim. So why do we have to say it's talking about a case of a grusha? So that the Gemara said, Amri, they said, Hani Mili, when did we say this? When did we have this Machlekes Rabbi Rav Nachman over there in Baba Basra and Perek Yeshnoichlin? That was only Libnei Marava, to those in the West in Eretz Yisrael, that they sent this halacha. They said that a firstborn takes a double portion in the loan, in the milva, but not in the profit of the loan, which was explained that was going aliba de Rabbanon. According to the Rabbanon, that dispute Rebbe, that they say the firstborn does not take a double portion in profits that the properties profited after their father's death. Meaning to say, although they're going to get what the father has, but if it was a certain shvach after the father's death, and then they split it, he's not going to get that because that wasn't something that the father had at the moment of his death. Now, whereas according to Rebbe, he holds that even in the interest, even in what the thing had increased in value, the firstborn will also take a double portion. The reason being is because since the increase, the shvach, is something automatic, it happens by default, therefore he considered that not actually as ro, but actually as muhsik. Now, Rabbi and Rav Nachman explain their machlokes is explaining this that the Bnei Marava said it was going according to the opinion of the Rabbanan that a firstborn takes pishnaim, it takes double by the milva, by the loan. Now the difficulty with that is that contradicts what the Rabbanan were always assumed to be saying, that they disagree with Rebbe and they hold that no, the firstborn does not take a double portion in something like a milva, because it's not like muhsik, it is like ro. Now, it was regarding to that halacha that they were coming to resolve and say, Reb Nachman said, was when they're collecting ma'os, that's where the Rabbanan will hold that then the firstborn will take a double portion, because that is considered like muhsik. Rabbah said that will be talking about a case when they're collecting karka, which again Rabbah explained that is considered like muhsik already. So that they'll take possession, meaning in regards to the milva itself. Regarding the shvach of that, what we call the ribbis of that they disagree with Rebbe at all. That for sure is not considered muhsik. But even regarding the milva itself, seemingly, even though it happens by itself, but if it wasn't yet collected, they hold that the first one doesn't take double, but yet we know that they do say that you take double, and that they're explaining depends for what. That's the machlekes Rabbi Rav Nachman. But says the Gemara, ki kamri hacha, when they said over here, both Rabbi and Rav Nachman, the explanation of this brisa, that they said it's talking about a case of a grusha, and they didn't explain it according to their opinion over there, very simply, they could have said each one according to their opinion, that it's talking about either the collection is with ma'is or with karka, which then that is like ra'u and not like muhsik, and that's why the husband's not getting it, is because here they're explaining this brisa, kerebi, like Rebbe, who he says a firstborn takes a double portion, even by shvach, even by something that it wasn't even there, it increases, even that Rebbe considers that like muhsik, where it's already as if it's the father's at the time that he dies, where for sure he would hold regarding a loan that it's like it's collected already, and it wouldn't make a difference if they collected karka or collected mois, either way, it's already considered like it's muhsik. So therefore, if Rabbi Rav Nachman would not have described this case of this braisa, where it's told me that he had divorced her, then the husband would take, just like the firstborn, where we consider everything, no matter what it's collected with, as muhsik, because even shvach Rebbe holds like muhsik. And that's why they couldn't say that it's told me either with ma'is or with karka, because that only works according to the Rabbanan, not according to Rebbe. But, however, even Rebbe agrees regarding the halacha of Kaifer, and that was the halacha of Rebbe Kiwi we were discussing on the previous daf, he considers it like ra'u. And the reason being why that's the one exception is because since there's no liability at all when the woman's still alive, it only is incurred after the woman's death, as we brought from the psukim on the previous daf. Therefore, it's not even like shivcha de memela. It's not even like interest, like profit that comes after, but it comes automatically. Here, there's nothing even to say that we could consider it like muhsik, because actually the whole liability happens only after the woman's death, and that's why that's going to be the one exception, like Rish Lakish had said, regarding the husband not inheriting, it's only going to be regarding kaifer. But regarding nezik, regarding anything else, if they weren't divorced, then even if the collection was with karka or with mois, according to Rebbe, the halacha would be that the husband would inherit it, just like he holds regarding the bechor is neitel pishnai. And that's why they have to say the braisa talking about a case specifically of a grusha. Now the Gemara continues discussing what was mentioned in the previous daf which was the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, that he interpreted Ubala Sharnaki, where a shar tam that kills a person, that then the owner of the shar is going to be naki, meaning to say, when the shar that's tam kills an eved, the owner of the shar doesn't have to pay the shloshim sloim, the 30 sloim, to the owner of the eved. So the Gemara continues on that halacha. Amar Shimon ben Lakish says, shar shehemis as a eved, regarding an ox that kills a slave, but shaloi bekavana, without intention, didn't mean to kill the slave, but it did. Patur mishloshim shekalim, so the owner of the ox is exempt from the payment of the 30 sloim, which is usually incurred when the ox kills the slave. Shnemalik, it says the pasuk in Shemais, says kasev shloshim shekalim yitin ladoinav. So it says that when the ox gores the slave and kills him, so the owner of the ox has to pay 30 shekalim to the master of the slave. V'hashar yisakel, and the ox gets stoned. Says Rish Lakish, kolzman shasher beskila, when it is true that the ox gets stoned. So then, habayel misham shleishim shkolim. Then the owner has to pay the 30 sloim to the owner of the slave. But ein hasher beskila, if the ox is not getting stoned, whereas Rashi points out, as the Mishnah tells us later on the Mendal Menalf on the next daf, that an ox that kills shloi bekavana without intention is exempt from skila. Where, and the reason being, as the Gemara explains, is because what's called kamisas bailam kachmisas shar. The way we kill the owner is the same way we kill the ox. And just like an owner, meaning a person, the owner of the ox, we only kill him if he intended to kill someone, but not if he didn't, so too the ox is also going to be stoned only if he had intended, but not if it didn't. So therefore, if the shar is not beskila, se'ein habailam mishalm shleishim shkalm, so too in that situation we see from the comparison of the pasuk that then the master doesn't have to pay the shleishim shkalm, and that's why, that's the source for Rish Lakish halacha, that if the ox did a shlei bekavana, the owner is pater from shleishim shkalm. Similarly, Amar Rabbah says, shar shehem is ben chayrin, not a case of a slave, but rather an ox that kills a regular free man, a regular Jewish person, shleishim bekavana, but without intention. So too, patim kaifer, the owner of the shur hamud is going to be exempt from the liability of kaifer. Shenema, because it says in the pasig, hashur yisakel, but gamba olav yumas, it says when the shur hamud kills a person, so the ox gets stoned, and also its owner gets killed, which the next pasig clarifies that it doesn't get killed. It means im kaifer yushas alav, but however, if there's an atonement money that's imposed upon him, where then he could pay redemption money for the value of the person that was killed, and that will be his atonement. But one thing we see from the comparison, the pasuk is calls man shasher beskila, as long as it's going to be true that the ox is going to be stoned, then bailam mishal mekayver, then the owner has to pay kayver. But ein asher beskila, but if the ox is not stoned, as we explained, same halacha, if he didn't intend to kill the free man, then he's not going to be stoned. So ein bailam mishal mekayver. So then the owner is not going to have to pay the halacha of kayver. Now Rashi points out that obviously Rabbi Elazar that said on daf mem alef mem beis, an explanation when he was answering to Rabbi Akiva, that my halacha, why I needed Ubala Sharnaki, because Rabbi Akiva had asked him, what do you need it for? We know it from somewhere else. He says, I only need this halacha that a shur tam will be exempt from kaifer, from chatzi kaifer, only when it intended to kill one type, and then it killed the type that he would normally be liable for. That in that situation where there's not going to be any skila, that's where I need to know that he's going to be exempt from kaifer. He says, obviously, Rabbi Eliezer, the Tana is disagreeing with Rabba over here. The reason being is because from the fact that Rabbi Eliezer said that you need a pasuk to exempt a tam when it killed shaloi bikavana, obviously Rabbi Eliezer holds that when it's a shar muid, even if it killed shaloi bikavana, that there's going to be an exemption from the ox being killed. That's how halacha we'll see in the Mishnah next daf. But that there is obviously going to be liability in kaifer. It's only by shar tam, where it says abala shar naki, that there's going to be exemption from kaifer. So how do we understand Rabbah, who is not Moira, how could he argue on a tana? So Rashi says that Rabbah is relying on the pasig, and he learns that, which we just brought that drush over here, but still, where does he have tanoic support? If there's no tanoim saying like that, you can't make your own interpretation of the pasig as an amira, he learns the Mishnah, daf mem dalem and aleph, as him, when the Mishnah says, when the ox didn't intend to kill that person and it did, that he's pater, Rabbah learns that the pater is going on kaifer and skila. Not only is he exempt from skila, but he's also going to be pater from kaifer. And the way he explains it is, he explained it here from the pasuk, that we see that the pasuk compares the two of them, and that's why he's going to be exempt from kaifer, even as a shar hamud. Now, however, on this halacha of Rabbah, Eisvei Abaye, Abaye asks from the Mishnah Masechtas Ketubos. Mishnah says as follows. If let's say somebody comes to court and he admits on his own, he says, hey, Miss Sharias Pliny, I know my ox killed that person. Oy shorish aplani, or it killed the ox of that person. Where, as Rashi points out, the Gemara in Daf Tezvav Mabez in the first parak explained that this Mishnah Maseches Ksubos is talking about Asher HaMu'ud. Now, but one thing we see from this Mishnah is that there's a case of when he admits and he says, Hey Mishari is plainly, then my ox killed that person. Says the Mishnah, HaRez Mishal MaPeyatzmai. So now, based on his own admission, he has to pay by his own statement. Asks Abaya, now, my lav kaifer, isn't it talking about, because that's what the halacha usually is, if he says his ox, which we explained, this Mishnah is talking about Asher HaMu'ud, killed a person, the halacha is that, and we're saying you're liable now, is that generally there's a payment of kaifer. Now, the difficulty with this on Rabbah is that, however, in this case that was described in this Mishnah, the ox is not going to be stoned. The reason being is because, how do we know the ox killed this person? Through the owner's own admission. Now, the Gemara tells us in the coming daf that kemisas bailam, as we mentioned this just before, is kach misas asher, that the death of the ox is only in the same parameters as the death of its master as a person. Now, the thing is, a person does not kill based on his own admission. So when the owner makes an admission that what his ox did, the ox will not get stoned. So that contradicts Rabbah. Rabbah said that when the ox is not being stoned, there's no payment of kaifer. Yet here we see clearly from the Mishnah Maseches Ksubos that there's a liability of kaifer, even though the ox is not being stoned. So the Gemara says, lay. Now, a unique chiddush, the Gemara answers for Rabbah, that when the Mishnah Maseches Ksubos says that based on his own admission, he's going to have to pay, it's not in the framework of kaifer, as if he needs to have an atonement. In other words, that even if, let's say, he doesn't end up paying, because let's say he has no money, it's not a penalty that we're saying here that he has to pay, because, as Rabbi had said, there is no halach of kaifer without the stoning of the ox. Now, however, what the Mishnah is saying there in Maseches Ksubos is that where he does have property, he has money, he has to pay damim. He has to pay the monetary value. What does that mean? Is because death is not any less than damaging. In other words, if let's say his share would have damaged a person, even if the ox wouldn't be stoned, obviously he would have to pay how much worth the man is worth less now than he was before, which is what nezek is. So here also, the value of the death, now the person's not worth anything because he's dead. As a slave, he could have been sold for who knows how much money. Now he's not worth anything. He's a dead man. You have to pay that value to the inheritors, but not through the context, through the lens of kaifer. You're right, there's no halach of kaifer. However, it is through the medium of damim, simply because of damages that was done to the person that now he's dead. So you owe that in the halachas of nezek, that you're obligated even though the ox is not being stoned. And therefore, that's what you have to pay to his family, to his inheritors. Now the Gemara asks, E damim, E mesefa. If you have this new lens, this new interpretation of you can have an obligation, even though the common payment which the Torah mandates, which is kaifer, when a shor mu'ud kills a person, this kaifer, you're saying, you're right, there's not going to be kaifer, but no less the death than damaging, that's what you're going to be obligating. So the Gemara says, so let's see the end of that Mishnah. The Mishnah continues and says, let's say, however, if he admits and he comes to court and he says, Hey Mishari es avdu shalplani. Not like the previous cases, which were if he admits that his ox killed a person or that person's ox. Here he says that his ox killed the slave of that person. Says the Mishnah, in this case, Eina Mishal Mapayatzmai. He does not pay based on his own admission, which would normally be the halacha when the shur kills a slave, to pay the 30 slum of the slave, which is a knas. Here he's made the beknas, he's potter, he admits to the penalty on his own, he's going to be exempt. Now, that's what would normally be understood, that you say, made the beknas, then the halach of 30 slum is a knas because it's a set amount, it's not actual measured according to what the damages were to make a dini mam, and that's a dini knasas. So you make your own admission, you're going to be exempt. But asks the Gemara, but now that you introduce this new concept, the idamim, now, if you would entertain to say that there is going to be a halachic definition of nizakan, of damages, even when there's a death of a person, as you said regarding kaifer. So, obviously, just like you say regarding a free man, that when there's not going to be a penalty, there's not going to be the payment of kaifer, you still have to pay damav, the value of that person that was killed. So then asked the Gemara, so too regarding a slave. Even when there's not going to be the penalty of the knas of the 30 slum because you amoyed the knas and then you're going to be pater, but still you should have to pay the damim, the value, the loss. This guy lost, let's say, a chamor or gamal. He lost an eved. So am I loy? So why does the Mishnah say that when you admit on your own you don't have to pay for the value of the slave? You're right, you don't have to pay for the 30 slum. But the guy lost something that was his money, which was a slave. You should have to at least pay nizakin for damages. Why is it any worse than when we say when there's no kafir by a free man, you got to give dam. And here also, when there's no knas for the eved, then however, but you should at least have to pay regarding the nezik. So on that, says the Gemara, Amalei, Rabbi says to Abaya, Yechil no lishnu yilach. Truthfully, you know what I could answer you? I could tell you, Reisha Damim, the Sefer Knas, that the Reisha of that Mishnah, which was regarding when he says that my ox killed that person or the ox of that person, that was when we say that he has to pay, as I'm saying, that no, there's no kaifa because the ox is not being stoned. But as the Gemara, as we had answered before, that was talking about regarding the value, meaning regarding Nezik. And the Sefer Knas, the Sefer that said that when he admits that his ox killed that person's slave, the exemption that he doesn't pay is only going regarding the Knas. Not regarding the damim, because you're right. Regarding the damim, he would have to pay. But says Rabbi Miyosh Nuya Dechika, but to give a contrived answer where that the same Mishnah is told by two different concepts, even though that regarding either concept they would share the same halacha. I'm not going to give you what's called a Deichik Teretz. I'm not going to give you a contrived answer because it's very difficult to say that with really the halacha is the same by saying that his ox killed a person or that person's ox or that person's slave, whereby all of them, you're actually going to be exempt on the primary halacha that the Torah mentions, be it kafir or knas, but you are going to be liable for the secondary new chiddush damim type of a requirement. It's just that the Reisha was talking about one type regarding the damim that you're chayiv, and the Sefer was talking about the other type, which is the primary one, the knas, that you're exempt. That's a deichik, because why would it switch off and not tell us that? So therefore, although I could answer you that, I'm not going to answer that. Rather, says Rabbah, I'll tell you, idi bi idi damim. Both are, yes, talking about this halacha of damim. Now, you had asked, so if there is this requirement of money besides, let's say, the primary payment of kafir, which, yeah, I'm answering that you're not going to be liable for because ox not being stoned. So then the question that you asked me is, so then why by Eved, although you made the b'knas, you put it from the shleishim islam, but you should at least be chai for damim? Now, that says Rabbah, as we continue to Talmud Beis, there's a difference. There's a fundamental difference. Why by ben chayrin? Why by a free man, then you would be chayv and damim? But regarding the eved, you're not going to be. Because miu ben chayrin, because at least, whereas by a free man, we find the mishalm kafir al piyatzmai. Conceptually, there is an ability for the case that we're discussing in Mishnah Masechet Ksubos, which is the guy is admitting on his own. Although this case, as we see, there's no liability for kafir, but conceptually, it's possible to have the payment, the liability of kafir, through the person's own admission. Says Rabbah Behechadam, and now where would you have such a case? You don't have, because he described before. Since he's admitting on his own, the ox doesn't get stoned, and when the ox doesn't get stoned, you don't pay kafir. But he says that there could be such a case. Why? Di asu sahadi vas idu be de katal. He says, take for example, if witnesses come and testify regarding this ox, that it killed a person. Nabat veloyadi, the witnesses don't know, itam hava imud hava. They don't know if this was the first time the ox did it, being a tam, or if it's already done it a few times and therefore it's a mu'id. Now, what's the difference? The difference would be it only pays kaifer if it's a mu'id. Now, va'ama ma're da mu'id hu, and now the master, the owner of the ox, comes along and admits he's ma'ida that it's a mu'id. The halacha would be in such a situation, de mishalim kaifer al pi'atzmai, that he would pay kaifer based on his own testimony. The reason being why in this case he would pay kaifer is because the payment of kaifer is kapara, is atonement. It's not a knas, not a penalty. In other words, when you maida regarding the requirement of kaifer, because you admit it on your own, that won't exempt you. That's only halacha by knas, like by shleishim slom of an eved, where it's a knas, there you admit it, you're exempt. But kaifer is your atonement. Because you admit it, go ahead. Now that we know that you have to pay that atonement, you pay it. Now, however, when there's no edim at all, that's where we said before, that was Rabbah's halacha, that then when he admits on his own, he's going to be exempt from kaifer. The reason being is because that's Xeris HaKasiv, where if the ox is not being stoned, then, and when you admit on your own the ox not being stoned, so then you're not going to pay kaifer. Now, however, but in the case that Rabbah is describing right now, the axe is going to be stoned with the testimony of the witnesses. The reason being is because they know that it gored and killed this person. They just don't know if it's a tam or it's a mu'ud. But even if it's a tam, it is stoned. The Torah tells you that sokol yisokol, the shur gets stoned whether it's a tam or a mu'ud. So therefore, there conceptually is a case, in the way we just described it, where when the person's own admission makes him liable for kaifer, that he's going to be obligated in kaifer. Because it's a case that the ox will be stoned. We just didn't know if it was tam or mu'ud. So therefore, says Rabbah, we can extend that there is a certain line of stringency regarding the Mechairin, Hecha Deleka Edim. So therefore, even in the case when there are no witnesses at all, where yes, you're right, that was my drasha, says Rabbah, that from the Torah we see that it's not going to pay kaifer, but Mesham Damim. But still, since we see essentially even a person's own admission, that is a case of when it would require him to make a monetary payment, their conception could be even for kaifer. So even when there's no kaifer, he's going to have to pay damim, he's going to have to pay at least the value, the actual value of loss, that the value of this person was, if he was sold as a slave. But says Rabbi Gabi Eved, but regarding a slave, she'ena mishalom knas al piyatzma, you can never have that the owner will pay the knas to that slave's master based on his own admission. Because of heichidami, what would the case be talking about? The I asu edim vas idu be the kotla, because if witnesses would come along and testify that his ox killed that slave, and veloyadi, they just don't know itam hava imud hava. If we describe the same type of a case, where either way, the ox is going to be stoned, which fits into that same drasha, which we said, okay, if it's going to be stoned, then you could have the liability of the shleishim shkalim, because either way, whether it's a tam or mu'id, the ox is going to be stoned. So, and if you continue with that case and you say v'ama mare mu'udhu, now, however, but the halacha of the shleishim shkalim is contingent on this concept is. Is it a mu'ud or a tam? And the master comes along and admits that it's a mu'ud. Says Rabbi, in that case, loy mishdalm knas apayatzmai. In that situation, he's not going to be paying a knas based on his own admission. In other words, although there was a certain contingency that we said for both halachas of a ben chayrin and the shleishim shkolim, which are that the axe has to be stoned, and in this case, just like we described, says Rabbi, in the ben chayrin case, you're right that the axe is going to be stoned, because even if it's a tam, as the Gemara is going to later on explain, that wherever there's a death by a ben chayrin, there's going to be death of the axe by an eved, and we said by a ben chayrin, even by a tam, the axe is going to be stoned. But however, there's one fundamental difference. The halacha is, in general, when you're made the knas, which is what the halacha of knas is, of the shleishim shkalim, in contrast to kaifer, which is not a knas as we described before, the person that admits it is exempt, and therefore you never find the case of even when this ox is going to be stolen, but that the person's own admission would make him liable in the shleishim shkalim, you can't have that because your own admission makes you pater. So therefore says Rabbi Hecha Deleka Edim. So therefore, when there are no witnesses at all, then even Loi Mishalom Damim, then he's not going to pay even Damim. Because of that discrepancy we find between the Eved and the Ben Chayrin, that's why, yes, although I did say a Chiddush, that regarding a Ben Chayrin, the person's own admission, although that's not going to be paying for Kafir because the ox is not being stoned in that case, there will be Damim, but by Eved, even for the Lach of Damim, there will not be any requirement because we never find the person's own admission to make himself liable in that knas of the shleishim shkalim, and hence, even regarding the non-knas halacha of just the loss of nezek, of a payment of value of having a slave, even that's not going to be paid on the person's own admission. However, regarding this halacha of Rabbah, the Gemara continues to ask, Masav Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak. He asks from the following brisa. The brisa says, Kol shechiv beben chayrin, chiv be'evet. Whatever the liabilities were regarding an ox goring and killing a free man, the same liabilities apply to a slave, which are bein b'kayfer, bein b'misa, whether regarding the atonement money payment, which is when the shor hamu'id kills a person, and bein b'misa, and whether regarding the death of the ox, both of them share the same halachas. Now, that says the Gemara, kayfer be'evet mi'ika. Do you even have the halach of kaifer only applies by killing a free man? It doesn't apply by the slave. A slave, when the shor hamu'id kills the slave, there's the payment of shleishim shkalim, but there's no halacha of the owner of the ox paying kaifer. So Ela Lav rather explains Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchok, and this is his question that he has on Rabbah, must be what it really means to say is damim, is the monetary value of the slave. In other words, we learned in the Braisa kol, wherever you have a liability by a free man, there's going to be the same liability by the act when it kills a slave. Now, asks Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, since you said that a free man, based on his own admission, the owner of the ox is going to have to pay, not the kaifa, you're right, because the ox is not being stoned, but he's going to have to pay damim, simply the monetary value of that person that was killed. So then why did the Braisa say, regarding an eved, why did the Mishnah say, Mesechta Ksubos, that regarding an eved, the owner of the ox doesn't pay based on his own admission, but we see that the halacha of eved is the same as ben chayrin, and you said, you rabbi said regarding ben chayrin, that the owner of the slave, of the eved, of the shor will pay damim, so then the owner of the ox should pay when he kills a slave also damim, because he's saying he has shares the same halachas, eved as ben chayrin. So the Gemara says, Ikad Amri, that those that say, Hu Maisibla Bahuma Farakla, Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak was the one who asked the question and he gave the answer to it. And Ikad Amri Omali Rabban, some say no, it was actually Rabba who responded to his question. And said as follows, Hachi Gitani, this is what the Braisa is saying when it says kol. You're asking me that it's comparing everything by the free man where it was killed by an ox to a slave when it's killed by an ox. Says Rabba, that does not include the case of when the owner of the ox is admitting on his own, by Maidim Piatzmai. Rather, it's talking about a case when witnesses come and testify. And the reason why it makes sense to say when, although it's a kol, that it's talking about witnesses, is because generally that's the case, usually what happens when you come to court, it's usually the testimony of witnesses that creates the liability. So it's regarding that case, says Rabbah, where yes, there's no difference regarding the liability of a free man regards to the liability of a slave. And this is what the Brais was saying. Wherever you have a liability by a free man, where he was gored and killed with intention, and there was a testimony of witnesses, that then there's going to be a liability of kaifer, again, specifically that's in the case when the ox intended to kill the free man, where then when we say he intends to kill the free man and there are witnesses to testify, then the ox gets stoned. So in such a case, when he gets stoned, that's, as Rabbah had said, that's when the halach of kaifer is going to apply. That's where the comparison is. So to chiv be'eved, then there's going to be a liability. So too, when the ox with intention, with the testimony of witnesses, killed a slave, that the halach of knas of 30 shlom is going to apply regarding the slave, because, as we explained, in that situation, the ox is going to be stoned, because it did it with intention, and there were witnesses who can verify it. So too, v'chol shechiv b'ven chayrin shaloi b'kavana api edim damim, because there were two halachas that the Braisa was comparing. It was comparing slave to a ben chayrin, both regarding kaifer, and both regarding misa. So that is what he's explaining, that the first halacha we just described is what they share with kaifer, but again, specifically regarding witnesses, not regarding the person's own admission, because that actually, as we'll explain, there is a discrepancy, as Rabbah had just said. And now we're moving on to the second halacha that they compare to, is v'chol shechiv b'ven chayrin, shaloi b'kavana api edim damim, whenever you have a liability, regarding when the ox had killed a free man without intention, but there are witnesses who can verify. That then, says Rabbah, as I had explained previously, that then, although there's no kaifer, there is going to be at least a monetary liability. So to chiv be'evet shaloi b'kavana al pi edim damim. Then yes, I agree, by the case of slave in that situation, that since it was done, even though it was done shaloi b'kavana, but there were witnesses who could verify it, then even by the case of the slave, although there's not going to be the shleishim slayim, because there's no death of the ox, still there will be the requirement of paying the owner of the slave the actual value of his slave. But however, so it maintains Rabbah, but when it was through the admission of the owner of the ox himself, although, yes, by the free man, the owner of the ox has to pay the damim, by an eved, the owner is going to be pate, as we explained before. And the reason being is because we find a difference in the halachas of Alpi Atzmai, when the owner of the ox makes the admission on his own, between the kaifer of a free man and the halach of knas by a slave. But regarding when it was testified by witnesses, albeit the ox did it shaloi b'kavana, there we don't find any stringency of the halacha of kaifer over the halacha of knas, because it's in both those situations where, according to the primary payment of kaifer and knas, you're going to be exempt. Therefore, regarding the halacha of damim, in both of those halachas, they're going to be the same, and there will be a liability for the damim, even with the halacha of slave. But again, that's only with the Braisa comparing it regarding witnesses testifying, and not hodayos al pi atzmai. Now, however, the Gemara asks a different question now on Rabbah. Amalei Rava. Rava says to Rava, "I hachi, So if that's the case, the way you're describing, you're saying that when an ox kills a person without intention, didn't intend to kill the person, but with the testimony of witnesses, where in that halacha you were saying that there's not going to be a payment of kafir, but still there's going to be a requirement of paying the actual value which was lost over here, since there's a value of a person's death, which although there's not going to be kafir if it's a free man, there's not going to be knas if it's a slave, still you're saying there's going to be a payment of damim. So asks Rava, if that's the case, then ishai, a person's fire, where there's no halacha of kafir over there, as the Gemara will shortly explain that, if let's say he kills a person through his fire, he doesn't pay atonement money. But in such a case where a person has his fire, shaloi bikavano, where he kills a person without intending to kill him, al pi edim, and there's testimony, however, of two witnesses, that this guy's fire killed that person, based on your logic, nishalim damim, the owner of that fire should have to at least pay the value of the person that was killed, because there's at least the halacha of nizakin. Although there's no halacha of kafir, but your logic indicated that although there's no kafir, that halacha will at least be, there's halacha of nezik. Now, one thing Rashi says, obviously, the reason why he has to describe it, shalei bekavana, if the person had used his fire to kill someone with intention, it was premeditated, then obviously the owner of the fire would be exempt from the monetary value, because that's what's called kumli bedirabani. It gets the more severe penalty, which is the death penalty, and not the monetary penalty. But regarding the damim, if it was done shalei bekavana, so based on your logic, then there should be a liability of nezik for that person's death. Now, regarding this question of Rava, the Gemara responds to his question, "Umanale la Rava dulei mashalim." Where does Rava know that there won't be a payment for the value of the person's death, although there's no kaifer? Maybe there will be. So the Gemara explores, "Ilei mimeditznan." If the proof of Rava would be from the Mishnah later on, the Samech Alvam Abayis, the Mishnah says as follows over there. If a person had a goat that was attached, tied to a pile of grain, and the Evet Samachla, he also had a slave that was nearby the pile of grain, and another person went and lit up that Gaddish, the Nisrafimai, and all these things got burnt up with it, says the Mishnah later on, so the owner of the fire is going to be liable for the death of the kid goat, and for the Gaddish and for the pile of grain that he burnt up. Now, however, the owner of the fire will be exempt for the slave. And the reason being is because the slave was just nearby. He should have ran away. The fact that he died wasn't my fault. He should have ran away. And therefore, the liability, however, will be on the Gedi and on the Gaddish. Continues the Mishnah. Let's say, however, Evet Kafersloi. Let's say the slave was tied to the Gaddish, to the pile of grain, to the silo. The Gedi Samachloi, and the kid goat was just nearby. And they get burnt up when this guy lights up the Gaddish on fire. So then says the Mishnah, Potter, he's going to be exempt. Now, the Gemara assumes that this was Rav's proof, that when it says there in the Mishnah that he's going to be exempt, he's going to be exempt both on the slave and on the Gedi. Why? Regarding the slave, and this was seemingly Rav's proof, is because there's no payment for the death of a slave, meaning regarding the halacha of knas, which are the 30 sloim, only in the case of a shur hamu'id. When you have a shur hamu'id, so then that's a case where we said that's where the halacha of knas applies. That's where, when the death of the slave, the owner is going to be liable for it. But regarding a person's fire, there's not going to be any chiv dam. That seemingly is Rav's proof. Now, and regarding to the gedi, the reason why he's exempt for the death of the goat is because the goat should have ran away. But, however, explains Rashi, the assumption of the Gemara right now for Rava is that, however, regards to the halacha of kimle b'dirabmine, that wouldn't be an exemption for the death of the slave. You killed the person, so then you don't have the lesser penalties of monetary penalties. On that, the Gemara holds that ishe mishum mimoinai, that Rava holds that the liability of a fire is not like the person himself, like chitzav, like as if it's his arrow. If a person kills a slave, he's liable for that person's death. And he would have a chiv misa. Here, there wouldn't be a chiv misa on the Eved because he considers his fire like his money, like as if his ox killed someone. If his ox killed someone, he doesn't get the death penalty. So then why is he exempt on the Eved? Must be, says the Gemara in explanation of Rava is because you see that by a person's fire, there is no liability for the monetary value of the loss of the Evet, because it's only in the case of a Sharha Muid, which then you would have the liability of the Knas, and then when you don't have the Knas, then you'll have the Daman. But that's the Gemara's question, that so Rava has a proof from this Mishnah that you see that by a person's fire, when it kills a slave, there's not going to be a liability of Daman. But why? Based on the logic that was said, there shouldn't really be any difference regarding a fire which doesn't have Kaifer, but Shoyer that also doesn't have the halach of Knas. It's still this Daman. Here also, where there's no halach of Knas, because it's only by Shoyer Mu'id, there should still be Daman. Now, however, for this to be the proof of Rava's question on Rabba by saying that you see it doesn't apply by fire, the Gemara says, but Ha'am Rish Lakish, but Rish Lakish says in Parakeitza de Regel that actually the understanding of this Mishnah is a whole different interpretation. It's Kagan Shehitzis Begufei Shel Evet. It's talking about where the guy who lit the fire lit up the body of the slave. That's how all these things had this whole conflagration. Now, in such a situation, there's going to be the death penalty for this guy killing the slave. And therefore, even regarding not just the Gdi and the Eved, but says Rish Lakish, even regarding the Gadish, regarding the grain, you're going to be exempt. And that's because of the Kamli Bedraminei. The exemption is for a whole different reason. It's because you're getting the death penalty. The death penalty, of course, you're not going to have monetary payments. But there's no proof regarding what we had assumed would be Rava's proof that, you see, by fire, there's no Damim. It's not because of that you're having as if Isha Mishum Imoinoi, and yet you're still going to be exempt because there's no Knas, which is only Bishar Amu, so there, but there's no Damim. No, that's not the point. You're exempt because you're getting the death penalty, but maybe you actually would be Chayiv Damim, even by Ishai, yes, based on the logic that Rabbi said. So the Gemara tries to bring a different proof. Ve'el Mahad Tanya, rather the proof that Rabbi was coming from, where he was asking his question on Rabbi, was from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, in comparison of the different Mazikin, the Dal of his Mazikin that this Masechta started off with, it contrasts Chaymer Be'esh Mibabar. It says that there's a certain stringency that applies to the Mazik of fire over the Mazik of Bar of a pit. What's the stringency? She'esh Mu'edis Lechel, a fire is considered a Mu'ed, meaning you're going to have to pay Nezik Shalom for what it consumes, Bein Dava Harola, whether things that are fit for it to consume, like fire, oil, whatever it is that it usually uses, fuel, Bein Dava Shein Harola, and however you'll be liable for the Mazik of Eish, even for something that's not really fit for fire to consume. Let's say it scorches a plowed field or stones, where it's not normal for fire to do that, but if it burns someone else's stones or plowed field, you'll be Chayiv for the Mazik of Eish, Mashen Kim Bar, which doesn't apply by the Halach of Bar, where by Bar, it doesn't have anything that's not fit for it that it would be liable for. Now, that's what the Braisa says. But V'ilu, whereas Sha'esh Mishalemes, Shaloi Bikavanam. However, the case of paying for the Mazik of fire, when it killed a person without intent, the guy, when he made the fire, didn't intend to kill a person, where in that situation there's no Kimle Medraminei, to say that fire would be liable for damim for the monetary value of that person who was killed, Masha Enkin Bebar, which would not apply by the Mazik of pit, where actually there a person is always going to be exempt for his pit causing the death of a person. As the Gemara elsewhere teaches, it says that there's a liability of a shur for loy adam, only if an ox falls into the pit, but not for a person, loy ketani. It doesn't say that as one of the severities of fire versus pit. Why not? According to the way you just described it, that would be a good example of showing a chumrah where there's going to be a liability for damim when it kills a person. Obviously, says the Gemara, like Rava was contending with Rabba, that we don't find by a person's fire to say that there's going to be a liability, even though there's no kaifer, even though there's no knas, that to say that there's going to be damim, you see by fire not. But why not? Based on the logic of Rabba, there shouldn't be any difference. Even when there's no kaifer or there's no knas, there's still going to be damim. So too over here by Isha, you should have, by a person's fire, you should have the same thing. Yet we see clearly that the Braisa doesn't mention it, that it doesn't apply by fire. So the Gemara answers, no, that's not a proof. The Mutani B'Shayer. Maybe mentioned differences between fire and pit, and then left others out. Could be that would have been another difference. How is that a proof that it doesn't apply by fire too? So the Gemara actually concludes, you're right. Ela Rava Gufe, rather Rava himself, this that he had asked the question regarding, well, what are you going to do about fire when it kills a person without intention? It wasn't because it was obvious to him that the owner of the fire wouldn't pay the value, as if he was asking a question on Rabba. It was actually in the form of a query. What Rav was telling Rabba was, if that's really so the way you're saying, that an ox that kills a person without intention, although there's not going to be kaifer, but there is going to be damim, there's going to be at least a monetary value that you have to compensate, that Rav was asking, well, what would you say of Isha Shalei B'Kavana regarding his fire also when he didn't intend to kill a person? Mi Mishalim Damim Oloi. Would that be the same thing? That would the owner of the fire have to pay the monetary loss of this person, although there's no kaifer, or not? As the Gemara explains what his question was. Mi Amrina, do we say, Gabe Shahu, by a Shar Hamazik, where Dibikavana Mishalim Kaifer, when the ox kills the person with intention, then the owner of the ox has to pay kaifer. So that in that situation, even though it's Shalei B'Kavana when you're doing without intention, and there's no kaifer, but since it's a type of a mazik that would pay kaifer, so Mishalim Damim, so even when there's no kaifer, you got to pay monetary value. Aval Ishrei, but his fire, Dibikavana Loi Mishalim Kaifer, where even when it does it with intention, there's no liability of kaifer for two reasons. One is because we don't find the halacha of kaifer regarding fire written in the Torah. It only writes by Shara Mazik. Moreover, actually, if you made the fire with intention to kill a person, so then there's kimla b'ravne. You're going to get the death penalty, and therefore there's not going to be the monetary penalty of kaifer. So regarding fire, regarding Eisha Mazik, where you never have kaifer, so then maybe shalei b'kavana nami. So maybe then when you do it also without intention that kills a person, lei mishalim damim. So therefore you're not even going to pay damim. Or maybe his question was, even the gabei shor shalei b'kavana, ultimately you see by the shor hamazik, when it does it without intention, ava gavda leka kaifer mishalim damim, even though there's no penalty in that situation of kaifer, you still pay the monetary value. So maybe you say gabei shei nami, maybe regarding the person's fire too, you say ava gavda b'kavana lei mishalim kaifer, although that when it does with intention, you're right, it doesn't have kaifer, but shalei b'kavana mi es mishalim damim, but when it does it without intention, ultimately in that situation it's really not any different than the shor hamazik, which also is not going to pay kaifer. And therefore, just like there it pays damim, here also it should pay the monetary value. But it wasn't that he was saying, oh, it can't be what you're saying. He doesn't have any proof that that's not the case. He was just wondering, would you say that would be the same or not? The loyadina, we don't know, and take, let it stand. It's not clear what would be the halacha based on Rabbah's logic regarding the Eish HaMazik Shalei B'Kavana, if there would be a Chiv damim when it kills a person without intention or not. Now the Gemara resumes the discussion that we were talking about before, regarding the payment of kaifer when the shor hamuud kills a person, so the owner of the ox has to pay atonement money. So kias Rav Dima, when Rav Dima came along, he said in Amr B'yechan, the name of B'yechanan, that when the Torah talks about kaifer, the question is, matam olema im kaifer. Why when it talks about, it's talking about that if a shor hamuud kills a person, it says, if kaifer yushas alav, if the atonement money they're going to impose upon him. What is the word im doing over there? It should just say, kaifer yushas alav. He has to pay atonement money. Says Rabbi Yechanan, l'rabbis, you know what the word im is coming to include? Kaifer shalei b'kavana, ki kaifer b'kavana. It's coming to include the liability that even if the ox is not going to be stoned, meaning in the case where it didn't intend to kill a person, where we say the ox doesn't get killed then, it will still have the same halacha as when it does kill a person with intention, where just like over there, there's going to be kaifer, even when it does a shalei b'kavana, there is going to be a liability of kaifer, which obviously Rashi points out is in disagreement with the halacha of Rabbah that we said before on Amud Aleph, that says when there is no stoning of the ox, there's not going to be kaifer, which shalei b'kavana, there's no stoning. Rabbi Yechanan disagrees and says, actually, that's what im kaifer is coming to include, that there is kaifer even when the ox kills shalei b'kavana. However, Amalei Abayi asked Rav Dimi, El Miat, if that's the case, then Eved Nami. So then also by the halacha, when the ox kills a slave, Matam Olema Im Eved. What is the pasuk coming to include when it says, if a slave, Yigach HaShoroi Oma, that the ox will gore, or a maidservant, Kesef Shleishim Shkol Mit, Ladoinav HaShor Yisokel, so the owner of this ox has to pay 30 skolim to the owner, to the master of the slave, and the ox gets stoned, what is Im Eved coming to include over there? Says Abaya, is that l'rabbis eved shalei b'kavana keved b'kavana? So seemingly that should be the same type of a drasha. That to include, even if the ox killed the slave without intention, it will have the same halacha as when it is with intention, which again, although the ox is not being stoned, still the owner of the ox is going to have to pay the 30 sloim.
Says Abaye, v'chitema hachanami. And if you're going to say like that, yes, that's going to be the same type of a drasha. But v'am Rish Lakish said, as we said, Shir Shehemis says, Evich lebekavon, if an ox kills a slave without intention, we said, Patim Mishlei Shem Shkalim. He's going to be exempt from the penalty of the 30 Shkalim. That contradicts what you would say would have to be the drasha from Im Evit. So Amaleis, Rav Dimi answered to Abaye, Gavra Agava Karamis? What are you asking from Rish Lakish, who is a contemporary of Rabbi Yechina on Rabbi Yechina? They disagree. Rish Lakish disagrees. As we said before, that other halacha disagrees with Rabbah, as we mentioned these two halachas on Amin Aleph. Actually, Kiyasa Ravan, actually the Gemara continues, says that when Ravan came, he came to Bavel on Rabbi Yechina, said in the name of Rabbi Yechina, that Evid says in the Torah regarding an ox goring an Evid. What does it come to teach when it says, if a slave, says Rabbi Yechina, exactly this halacha, l'rabbis evit shalei b'kavana, coming to include when an ox gores a slave without intention for the liability of the knas, k'evit b'kavana, just like the halacha when it gores a slave and kills him with intention. Although b'kavana, the ox gets stoned, and shalei b'kavana doesn't, either way the word im is coming to include the halacha of knas of shalei shmashkalim, even when it does it without intention. Now the Gemara concludes this discussion by asking, Ulu Rish Lakish, according to Rish Lakish, Nami Nemo, do we say, Mide'evet im evet loydarish, as we said, that this was halacha that we quoted on Amud Aleph, we're just quoted now again, from the fact that he obviously does not make the drasha of im evet coming to include shalei b'kavana like kavana, because he actually says it was done shalei b'kavana, then there's no penalty of shalei shmashkalim. So kleifer im kleifer nami loydarish, so does he also say like Rabbis halacha, that we say that he also doesn't darshan im kaifer to include the penalty of a free man, that it's going to be required kaifer even shleba kavana like kavana? So that the Gemara says, Amri, they said, loy, not necessarily the case. Evidim evid loy darsh, could be as his halacha is saying, he doesn't darshan, doesn't expound the extra word im to include shleba kavana as kavana regarding the shleishim shkolm of an evid. But kaifer im kaifer darsh, but regarding that drasha of im kaifer, that he does expound, that it will include shleba kavana like kavana. So the question is, a Mishnah, what would be any difference? So that the Gemara explains, it's the context. Eved im eved leksiv b'makom tashlumin. That extra word of im by eved, it doesn't say it in the place in the psukim which talks about compensation of payment. It mentions it regarding the actual incident, regarding the goring. It says, im eved yigach, if it gores a slave. Now, that is not an extra word to come to include another halacha like shlei b'kavana. That's necessary for the halacha itself to differentiate between what we was talking about before, a ben chayr and a free man. Now the pasuk continues, says, but im evid, if a slave, is a different halacha. So that's what's necessary for not to say any inclusionary terms. But kayfer im kayfer iksiv b'makom tashlumen. But the other halacha of im kayfer, that's written in the context of payment. Where there, it's logical to say that that's coming to include something else also for payment. Because it's not necessary for the halacha itself. Because for the payment itself, it should have just said, kayfer yushasalav. What's im kayfer yushasalav? That word im, Rish Lakish would agree, is coming to include something else for tashlumen, where it's said in that context of tashlumen, which Rish Lakish would agree would include the halacha of kayfer, even shalei b'kavana, like kavana, and not necessarily like rabbah.